Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
But let's get started. I want you to look at your sheet. That way you can even cheat and you can answer these questions. So we're going to review right now. And let me ask you, what is the church's motto? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. No, that's, the motto is that we are a church on our way to God's heart. Now, what is our vision? That's our vision. What is our vision again? Impact New Orleans with the love of Christ. Exactly. And our mission is to do what? Since we're going to go out and impact New Orleans, but what is the mission that we go out to do? Make disciples through meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. And if we're going to do all of these things, what is our foundation? What do we base all of this on? Great commandment and the Great Commission. I think we've all heard this a couple of times, so we don't really need to rehash that and everything. But after you have the Great Commandment and the Great Commission all bundled down, now what do you do use to strengthen all of this? Word of God and prayer. That is your strength. That is your backbone. That's what's going to help keep you all together and keep you standing upright, okay? So let us look at Matthew chapter 27. Chapter 11, I'm sorry, verses 27 through 30. I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. But you know, this is where we've been looking at Jesus' invitation to come to him, to join him, to follow him on a journey of service. So let us look at that. And it says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son he will reveal to him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God. And I want to make this a little more interactive. I don't want it to be just me talking today. Okay? So this is what I want to do. You know, it said that if you want to remember something, say it seven times over and over, and it'll go into your long-term memory. So this is what we're going to do. When I point, I'm going to ask you to say the word go. So let's try this. So the word of God says, go. Three people's here. Wow, let's try that again. So when God said to go, much better. I think we got a few more people that just must have just walked in the door. But I think we can do it a little bit better than that. I want you to go. Great job. Good job. So every time I do this, I want you to say the word go, okay? But first he said, come. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Now, this rest that he gives you, it's not self-achieved. You can't bring it upon yourself. Because you see, the rest that God wants to give you comes from him. The word rest in this text means to be rejuvenated. You know, kind of like after a nice saint's win, you get to sleep in peace. You wake up Monday morning, you're rejuvenated, right? Next year. But You see, the thing is God, Jesus, wants to give you that rest today, tomorrow, forever. But again, the only way you can find this rest is to come to him. He also said to learn from him so that you can grow, so that you can be like him, humble and meek. He also said to take my yoke, get ready to go out and serve. Because he says, by joining with him, by yoking yourself to him, your burden will be easy and it will be light. But here's where we want to stop and think for a moment. No, actually, we don't want to stop. But we want to
go.
Go. Sometimes we want to sit there and we want to, you know, say, hey, God, hey, Jesus, come here. I want to yoke you to me. Well, that's not how it works. Because, you see, we don't have the perfect plan. If I was to ask Jesus to yoke himself to me, man, there's no telling where we would be at today. But I guarantee you wouldn't be in the right place. So he says to take my yoke, not yours, his yoke, and come to him so that he can teach you, so that you can grow, and that you will be going with him because he is on the move. You see, animals are yoked together not just so that they can stay put. You don't yoke them together and say, okay, stay, almost like a dog. No, they are yoked together to do work. In the same respect, Jesus wants us to be yoked to him so that we can go out there with him and be a part of his work, not ours. So if we are yoked to Christ, then let us talk about where we are going. Then we can go. So here we are. We've talked about being connected. We've talked about all of those things. But today's message is about going. But before we can get there, let's review a little bit. So God calls us to be connected. To be connected to him and our neighbors in what? Love. Somebody said it. Great job. He wants us to love him and love our neighbor. That's how we are going to be connected to him. You know, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 40, the word of God says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what he wants us to do in connection. He wants us to connect in love. Once we are connected, now he wants you to grow. It's like putting a seed in a flower pot. You don't just stick it in there and then cover it up and say, okay, grow a little flower. Doesn't work like that. He wants you to grow day by day, a spiritual growth. Yes, I guess we all would like to be about 6'3" and able to dribble a basketball and making millions every year. But that's a physical growth. God wants you to grow spiritually. Not he doesn't mind that you grow physically, but he wants you to grow spiritually, okay? If we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13, two things you'll notice there. He says, to a mature man, mature. Now, yeah, you can be 45 years old, 6', 190 pounds. Does that make you a mature man? And then measuring yourself to the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. How many of you parents, when your kid was 3 years old, you went over to the door and you're like, stand up right here, take a ruler and you mark it, and you wait another year, and then, you know, it's like, okay, you're 4 years old now and you're right here and stuff. That's growing. But in the same way, he wants you to grow spiritually. And the way to grow spiritually is right here. Reading his word. Not just reading it, but taking time, too, to comprehend. What is he telling me here? Yes, this happened over 2,000 years ago, but how does that apply to my life today? That is the maturity in which he wants you to grow to. Not only grow, we talked about serving. serving one another with God's given gift. You know, if you look at 1 Peter 4:10, and it says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it by serving one another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. Each one has received a special gift. Now, it's not like Black Eye Friday where you go out in the doorbusters and they hand out the first 200 and you're number 201. You didn't receive that doorbuster. This is not how God works. He's got an abundance of gift, and he's already given it to you. You just have to go out, explore it, and put it to use. You see, but this is where we are now. Today's sermon, and it's the last one of this series. We've talked about connecting. We've talked about growing. We've talked about serving. Now we need to take all of this and go. Okay? So how many people like a good race? I'm not talking about car racing. I'm not talking about horse racing. I'm talking about a good 50-yard dash or a good 100-yard dash. Anybody? I like to race. But I think Father Time has caught up with me, so I don't do that anymore. But, you know, there's a story of little Jimmy, who was real fast. And one day while he was out on the playground, his second-grade teacher gathered the whole class up together and said, we're going to have a race today. And she said, I'm going to step back, and I'm going to call this race. So she stepped back about 40 yards, and she says, on your mark. And everybody got on their mark. She said, good set. And little Jimmy got set. And she said, go. And poof, little Jimmy took off. Being as fast as he was, he outran the whole class. On the playground, just so happened to be the second grade, 7 and 8 year old track coach. And he's like, wow, I got to have this kid on my team. So he found out who the kid's parents were, and he went over and he talked to the dad, and he says, and dad says, well, if Jimmy wants to race, I guess so. So Jimmy says, yeah, I'm the fastest one in my class, Dad. They said, great. So coach told him, said, hey, look, these techniques I want you to use, you know, runners, if you ever notice when they're running, it's called ear pocket. So you'll see their hands doing this. That's to help them to relax, first of all, because if you run with your fist tight, you tense up. So by relaxing, you build speed. So dad would, every afternoon, dad would take Jimmy out in the backyard and ready, set, go. And Jimmy would take off. And man, Jimmy was loving it and stuff. And he was building in speed, making him even faster. Well, the day of the race came, early Saturday morning, beautiful day. Jimmy's all excited. Man, my first race, I'm going to run. Dad, I'm going to win, Dad. And he gets out there and they call Jimmy's event. And the announcer says, on your mark. And Jimmy gets on his mark, said, good set. And then Jimmy stands up and he does this. And the announcer says, go. And everybody took off running. And Jimmy just stood there looking. And his dad's like, what happened? So he goes over to his son and he says, son, Jimmy, what happened? Why didn't you go? He said, well, Dad, I tried to tell the guy I wasn't ready. So I was telling him, no, not right now. I'm not ready. But you see, everybody else was. And so Jimmy didn't win. He didn't go. He stood right where he was. But how far do we need to go? How far? If we look at the Great Commission, we'll find the answer to that question. And it says, go and make disciples of all nations. See, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. So how far? That's pretty far. All nations. Jesus said, I will be with you always, all the time. As in, always and forever. Pastor threw that in there. He didn't want y'all to miss him so much and stuff, so he didn't think I would do it. But then he said, even to the end of ages. So how far did the 12 disciples have to go? All the way to their death, their whole lives, they went. The disciples went and they went and they went to fulfill the mandate of God, and it cost them their life. So as we look at some of the disciples, some of the interesting facts about their going. In the Bible, there's only one disciple that it actually describes how he died. And that was Andrew in Acts chapter 12. And it said that he was beheaded. Now, it says that they cut his head off because he wasn't at war. So it had to have been somebody he knew or somebody that he was familiar with. It wasn't a stranger. He wasn't at war. So then we look at Peter. See, Peter was crucified, but Jesus told Peter he would be crucified. And the Bible also tells us that Jesus asked to be hung upside down because he didn't find it worthy enough to be crucified like Jesus. We look at Matthew. He was killed by the sword in Ethiopia. John died of old ages. Bartholomew was beaten. He died by lashes. Andrew, Peter's younger brother, was also crucified. Thomas was pierced by a spear. Matthias, he was stoned and then his head was cut off. We can look at Paul. Paul was tortured and then his head was cut off. James, the brother of Jesus, even though he wasn't one of the disciples, but he was a leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was taken up to the pinnacle and thrown off about 100 feet down. And even though he survived the fall, he was then stoned and beaten to death. Now, the other disciples, we don't know exactly how they died. And really and truly, that's not important. But what is important is that they were willing to go all the way to the death to obey the great commission of Jesus. So let us think about the importance of this yoke that we look at of the Great Commission. You see, God gave them an order, not a suggestion. They were ordered to go. Jesus didn't say, "Hey guys, what do you think? Do you think we ought to just venture out from here? And maybe we'll find some people that we can preach the word to?" Did he call two or three aside and say, "Let me run this by you and tell me what you think"? No, he didn't say that. See, he gave them an order. And this order is an imperative mandate. It was not just a mere suggestion. In the same way Jesus says, "Come," he also says, "Learn." And he also says to take. All of these words are written in a command form. You see, because if you come to Jesus, you have to take a yoke. You cannot just come to him and be a spectator. If the team of heaven was in the Super Bowl today and Jesus was the starting quarterback, he wouldn't just take you to the game and have you sit on the bleachers. He wouldn't just take you and say, "I'm going to put you right here just in case I need you." He's not going to make you second or third string. He's going to use you as an important player. You're going to be first team. And he's going to send you out there, not alone, but with him. So the word "take" means that we are to lift, to carry, and to grab. That is taking. I am taking a sip of water right now because my throat is starting to get a little sore. In the same manner, what if your child was out playing in the middle of the street? And you look out there and you're like, "Angelica, I think it would be a good idea if you get out of the middle of the street or else a car might pass by and run over you." And that would be terrible because then I'd have to listen to your mom cry for the next 40, 50 years that I'm alive. No, that's not what you would do. At least I hope not. I know if it was me out there and I saw Brandon or Paige in the middle of the street, I'd be like, Man, you better get out of the street and probably grab him by the ear, grab him by the collar, grab him by the belt, whatever, and stuff. Get yourself right over here and stuff. I don't want a car to run over you, and then I got to sit and listen to your mom with all that whining. That sounds more like what would happen more than being nice and say, would you please come over here? That's what would happen. In the same way, Jesus, when he gave the told the disciples about the Great Commission, he prefaced the command to with the phrase, all authority has been given unto me. All authority. Just like when you tell your children, when you give them a command and they say, why? Because I said so. That's why. In the same manner, Jesus told the disciples to go because he said so. Remember when Jesus gave them the Great Commission, he says, all authority has been given unto me. See, think about Abraham. God comes to Abraham and he tells Abraham, I want you to go. I want you to go to this land. He didn't tell him where he was going, but I want you to go. And I will give you this land, and to all of your descendants, I will give it to them. See, Abraham had to trust in the one who had the authority. And he also was the one that told him to. And I will give you this land, he said. See, but Abraham had to go out of faith. He believed in God, and he trusted in him, so he wanted to obey. And he did it through faith. See, trusting in the one who has the authority is all you need to do. And Abraham went, and he took his wife, he took his nephew, he took his goats, his sheep, his donkeys, everything that he had acquired, he packed it all up, and he went. And when he had trusted in the one who had told us, therefore, trust in him who told you to take my yoke. And although many times we don't know where we're going, just like Abraham, no clue where he was heading. But you have to trust in the one that tells you to go. And he's the one with the authority. We have to obey, not only because he has the authority, but because what? We believe in him. This is called faith. And you give more security when he tells you that he will go with you. When you take his yoke, he doesn't release it, but he holds on to it and he helps you to carry it, and that makes your load, your burden, light and easy. God has given us the order to. And this time for us to obey and go and take everything that we have, body, mind, soul, and strength, just like Abraham, who didn't even leave the dog behind. He took him too. In order for us to, we have to get out of our comfort zone. This right here is getting out of your comfort zone. If somebody had told me 20-some years ago that, man, you'll be standing up in front of the congregation and on the internet preaching, I'd be like, ha, you're so, so funny. But you know what? You get called. You get asked. You have to believe. You have to trust. You have to get out of your comfort zone. And that's the only way you'll ever go. Take the yoke of Christ may take you out of your comfort zone, but it will be comforting to go with him, for he promised that he will give you rest in the process. So in turn, there is no other work that you can do here on earth that will help you to reach heaven. But what an accomplishment it is that you fulfill the purpose of God when you go with him. See, God is calling us to and make an investment in other people's lives. We need to go reach them. We need to go teach them. Teach them and how to yoke themselves to Christ and find rest. See, the best way to teach somebody is to show them how to live for Christ. That's how we go. That's how we teach. Being a personal demonstration. You know, Bill can sit here and tell me how to build a shed or whatever. See, he has the experience. I don't. But if he just sit down at a table and say, okay, Ed, this is what you're going to do first, and then you're going to do this, and now let's take a look at it. You know, you draw your little plans and everything, and then you just follow that. Well, if I'm building your house, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Don't go inside. It might fall on you. But you see, being yoked to him, we would build a strong house because of his experience and his knowing, his teaching. Same way with God. See, if you just walk alongside with Jesus, he's just going to bring you along. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you. He's going to give you all the tools that you will need to go and to do his work. He won't leave you. You see, if we look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. And it says, the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, whom had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. You see, wherever Abraham went, he worshiped. He didn't just go, but he praised the one that sent him and gave him directions. Whenever God spoke to Abraham, he responded with two things. We could see in this passage, two things Abraham how Abraham responded to God. He built an altar and he worshiped. That's what we ought to do. Not so much build an altar, but build an altar in your heart. Worship God. See, Jesus is calling you to and invest your life with him. Again, he's calling us to go, not stay. Not like little Jimmy. Don't wait for the race to be over to decide, I think I want to go. It's too late. But if you get yoked to Christ, you have to be totally invested. You see, or it's going to hurt you. You can't say, well, I'm going to be totally invested to God on Sunday, and then I'm going to go on Tuesday and not be invested with him. Probably won't be successful. But if you're invested with him on Sunday, and you're invested with him on Monday, and you're invested with him on Tuesday, and you go out on Tuesday, chances are you will accomplish his task. Jesus will with you always and to the end. Once you are yoked to Christ, he's not leaving you. He's not going to say, okay, let's go. Put the yoke on. Let's walk. Walk about 2 miles and say, okay, Ray, you're on your own. Take this yoke. I'm going. He's not going to sit there and hook up with a yoke for somebody else and say, okay, Jay, this is where I jump off the ship. You go. He's not going to walk another 10 miles and say, Paige, it's all yours, baby, from here on out. No, he said he's going to go with you always and forever, always to the end. He's not stopping. He's going to run the full race. If it's 100 yards, he's not going to run 95 and just quit. He's going to run the full 100 yards. Same with us. Once you are yoked to Christ, he's not leaving. He will be with you always and everywhere. And if that's not enough, then you should go with him. So then, what are we waiting for? Another special invitation? It's already been there. We've already talked about it. What are we waiting for? The track announcer has says, on your mark, get set, go. Go. That is the message for today. Go. Don't stay still. Don't wait. Time is passing. If you want to be committed to Jesus, then you have to be committed to go all the way. Just like him. Just like the disciples. Peter didn't say, you know what? They're talking about killing me. I think I'm going to stop right here. The other disciples didn't say, you know what? I went out there and it's not nice. It's not pretty. They're talking about stoning me. I've already heard that they killed the others. I'm going back to the comfort of my house. Somebody else can do this job. No, they went all the way. They didn't stop. All the way to their death. You see, because Jesus, he carried that yoke. Your yoke. Your guilt. Your shame. Your sins. All the way to death. And he went all the way for you and I. You see, he went all the way to the cross for you and I. He went all the way to the tomb and all the way into your heart if you will only come to him. So let's go. Connect with Jesus. He'll teach you and you will grow. And he will use you and he will take you to places you didn't even think was possible. So what step do I have to do today? Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. What step do I have to do today to be connected to God? You see, first you have to surrender and accept Jesus' invitation to bring your weariness and your burden and take his yoke and to go with Jesus, who will be by your side forever and ever. Maybe you need to be baptized. Connect to obedience and to testify that you are yoked to him. If that is what you want to do, being connected, you want to be baptized, see me at the end of this service, and I'll take your name, and we'll go into this lovely pool right here, and we'll baptize you. Maybe you need to commit to the church and become an active member. Not just connecting, not just growing and serving and going, but an active member. Maybe you know God is calling you to serve in some way or another. Respond to that call. Maybe you have checked all of these boxes that I've just listed, and now you need to start going and share the gospel. Then you don't even have to come up here. But all you have to do is just go. See, just like little Jimmy, the command has already been given to go. You have all the tools, physical, God-given, spiritual tools. But what stops you from going? Why are you still at the starting mark? There's only one thing that stops you, and that is you. No one else. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're intimidated. I'm sure the apostles were too. But you know what? They went. And unlike little Jimmy, when Jesus gave the command to go, they went. Now, maybe you're saying, how do I go? What do I have to do? Well, first it's called to be connected. You have to be connected to God. And then you're going to grow. And he'll teach you and you'll serve. You'll learn. And then you'll serve. You'll say, well, okay, all right. It's a progression here. And then you're going to go. See, you're not going to come to God and say, okay, I'm ready to go tomorrow morning. No, 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 it doesn't work that way. You have to get yoked to Jesus. So you say, well, how do I make this connection? It's very simple. It's nothing magical, nothing physical, but it takes a willing heart to be connected.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.